Welcome back to Moms and Baseball. This is episode 97, and I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Diana.
Today, we're talking about nutrition essentials for baseball performance. So I watched an interview with a D1 track athlete. And in that interview, she said the advantage used to be building muscle and lifting weights, but now every athlete does that. So now they're looking at nutrition. And I'm not talking about supplements or growth hormone or even testosterone. I'm talking about our food that we put into our body. And being a clinical dietitian for 15 years, I am not the expert in sports nutrition. So I found an expert for us. So today, our guest is Tavis Piattoli. He is MS, RD, LDN, who has been working in the field of high performance and sports nutrition for the past 21 years, designing personalized nutrition programs for high school, college, and professional athletes. He was also a sports dietitian for the New Orleans Saints from 2006 to 2013 and the New Orleans Pelicans from 2008 to 2013. He served as a sports dietitian for the Tulane Athletics from 2002 to 2014 and the Tulane Institute of Sports Medicine's NFL Players Association Brain and Body Program from 2013 to 2016. He's been very fortunate to work with a long list of NFL and MLB players throughout his career, most recently the number 6 overall pick in 2021, Jordan Lawler, and LSU's Tommy White. Welcome, Tavis.
It's great to be here. Thank you all so much for having me. I'm really honored.
Absolutely. So going into nutrition, I mean, you and I know that nutrition is important in our body, but why is this like the most important piece of the performance puzzle?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And, you know, the performance puzzle is pretty big. There's a lot of things that athletes are doing today to enhance performance. I mean, technology has changed so much. So we have obviously ways to analyze athletes and everything they do on the baseball side. I mean, there's pitching labs, there's hitting labs, there's all this technology that looks at all the biomechanics of things. There's strength and conditioning, there's private coaches. So there's so much that athletes are doing to try to enhance their performance. But the one piece of the puzzle that seems to be neglected that really is the catalyst is what they eat, right? So it's like you look at a car, and in order for that car's engine to run and to run effectively, it has to have the right type of fuel. So it doesn't matter how much you train, how good of an athlete you are. You know, you might have great genetics and just be incredibly skilled. But if you go into an event poorly fueled, if you're underfueled, if you don't have the right type and quality of fuel, none of that matters. I mean, I've seen that in working in the NFL, high performance athletes that just didn't perform at their peak because they just didn't choose the right foods on a consistent basis. So it really all starts with nutrition. And when nutrition is pretty well balanced, everything else falls into place underneath that. You get stronger. You have, you know, a higher muscle to fat ratio. You recover faster. You don't get sick as often. So, you know, it all starts with the diet.
Absolutely. So in talking about that, like kind of what can you tell everybody kind of what the main food groups that you're discussing and what they kind of have the effect on in the performance puzzle?
Yeah. And this might sound really elementary and people listen to this one. I know this already, right? It's like, well, nutrition doesn't have to be overcomplicated. I think when there's too much misinformation provided in the world of social media and influencers that it's like, that's just way beyond what we need to focus on. When we look at young athletes, and whether it's baseball players or any athlete, but let's focus on baseball, we have to focus on what's the purpose of, there's 6 nutrients, but there's really 3 macronutrients, carbs, proteins, and fats, right? And carbs seem to get a lot of negativity. They get demonized because of the whole low-carb or keto world, but we're talking athletes. We're talking high performance to where if you don't have carbohydrates, you really don't have power, strength, and skill. We've seen that in the research that if you don't eat enough carbohydrate to fuel your performance, you're not going to have the energy to perform at a high level. So when we look at carbs, I kind of, for my high school athletes, I categorize them as state championship, district championship, missed the playoff carbs. There's carbs that have there's carbs that have sustainable energy, right? You know, your whole grains, your sweet potatoes, your fruits, your vegetables. We'll get to the fruits and vegetables in a second. So we need those. But then there's missed the playoff carbs, your processed carbs, your cookies, your pies. They can still fit in the diet because we have to stop looking at food as good or bad. Food's not good or bad for you, or it's not healthy or unhealthy. There's no food that individually makes you healthier, or there's no individual food that makes you sick. Food's either nutritious or it's not. And everything can fit. But if we make sure the quality of the food we eat is 85, 90% strong and nutrient, rich, and the other 10% is maybe those missed the playoff carbs that can be fine. Protein, on the other hand, is obviously, that's an important nutrient for muscle recovery, muscle growth. We don't need enormous amounts like some people think. One of the biggest misconceptions I see in the field of weight gain is like, oh, I need a lot of protein. Well, no, about 70 to 80% of your body weight should be in protein intake. So if you're 200 pounds, about 140 to 160 grams of protein is completely sufficient. And then fat, right? We look at fat and it sounds like just a bad word, right? It's like it's one of those words that we look at as like, oh, if you say the word fat, that seems to be dangerous. But
right.
And there are certain fats, like I have all of my major league and college pitchers, even high school pitchers, on fish oil. It's an omega-3 fat. It helps with inflammation. It helps reduce shoulder and elbow inflammation. It just helps reduce inflammation in the body. So those three nutrients are absolutely critical for optimizing health and performance.
I like how you categorize like the different fuelings. Like just putting that in a different perspective for kids, I really appreciate it. And then when you talk about fats, I mean, we all know, well, I mean, I shouldn't say all know, but like your healthier fats, your avocados, things like that, where people think fats, they're thinking like, I don't know, McDonald's, you know what I mean? Like that's where that kind of freak out kind of comes about.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's that fat, you know, foods that are high in quality fats, especially nuts, peanut butter, nut butters, avocados, olive oil, avocado oil. You know, those are essential fats that in all my weight gain nutrition athletes or all my athletes trying to gain weight, we use a lot of low volume foods that have a lot of calories. So a handful of nuts might have a lot of fat, but it's also got maybe 200 or 300, 400 calories, depending on the size of your hand. For someone that needs 4,000 or 5,000 calories and they're in school all day, we use things like nuts. So we put avocado in a smoothie with peanut butter and you don't even taste the avocado. So it's just ways to get a lot of calories in a small amount of volume. So those fats are critical, especially for athletes trying to gain weight.
So you're talking about, you know, kids being in school or whatever, and you're talking about foods that are good for them to eat. I'm just curious on, does it matter when they're getting these fuelings, like when they're eating?
Yeah, that's a great question. Timing of your nutrition is critical, especially for young athletes, right? A couple of things I tell young athletes never do, never fast. Breakfast is so critical because, you know, your body is developing, it's growing. You know, you're looking at 14 to 18 year old kids that are not even reached their peak yet. So number one, fasting makes no sense in this population. Like it should never be done unless there is a medical reason to do that. But that's a very small percentage. That's probably less than 0.5% of the population that needs to focus on that. So for a growing kid that needs 4,000 or 5,000 calories, you should not be skipping meals. You should be eating frequently throughout the day. So with all my high school athletes, it's breakfast, it's snack, it's lunch. I always say, look, before you go to practice after school, you should be eating four times, two snacks, two meals. If you're not well-fueled going into practice, you're going to really struggle. And most kids, 30 to 40% of high school athletes don't even eat breakfast. So they're already starting the day way behind schedule. If they do have something, it's really quick. They're running out the door. They want to sleep late. That's their excuse of why they don't have time.
Yeah. But
in reality, they're lazy. They don't want to do the things they have to do. But they're also busy. You know. So my daughter's 11. She plays volleyball. She's not at that level to where it's like, all right, she's good. She's competitive, but she's not taking this serious yet. And most of the times these kids don't do that. But you know, if you're missing out on quality calories early in the day and you're only eating school lunch, you have a big problem at hand, and you're basically going to have what's called relative energy deficit for sport. And you know, you're going to have a lot of issues that are going to impact your ability to grow, build muscle, and you're not going to perform at a very good level. So the minimum time should be at least eating two meals and a snack before you head to afternoon practice.
So they should eat breakfast, they should eat lunch, and then if they have practice right after school, have a granola bar or I don't know, something healthy that I'm not thinking of as they're walking over to practice.
that's good.
Yeah, look, I mean, right now we just want them, it's about habits more than anything else. There's no magic food. There's no like superfood. I hate when I hear, oh, these are superfoods. No such thing. That's a marketing term. You know, food is food. Sometimes it might not be what we perceive as the best option. I've used Rice Krispie treats at halftime for teams, and that might be looked at as that's not nutritious. In a sense, it's got vitamins and minerals from the Rice Krispies that are fortified. At the same time, it's fuel. So there's no like, this is the best option. There's never the best option. We have to figure out what worked for that athlete. What does it disrupt their stomach? What can they tolerate? And if they say, look, I feel I've had athletes would eat the what might be perceived as the worst type of food, go, I felt fantastic. And I was like, well, that's great. If you feel good and your energy levels are strong and you perform well, then maybe that works for you. And that doesn't always happen. So, yeah, I mean, it's just making sure that they have a plan. We'll get into having a plan and how to make sure they solve that problem. But when we properly fuel throughout the day, a lot of good things can happen for these kids.
Absolutely. That sounds great. So since you're on with the calorie and food and everything, let's just switch it up to like tournament. So we know with baseball, tournaments can go all day long. So what should they be eating like before games, or like what should they be saving between games? If you want to talk, I don't know, how comfortable do you feel about talking about like the complex carbs or like things that are going to have hold them over and give them energy for a little bit longer, those kind of things?
Yeah, there's a couple of critical pieces when it comes to tournaments. Number one, parents have to be involved in that process. So what I've seen, you know, in working with athletes, when mom and dad, especially when parents are involved in the nutrition component of this, the probability of this athlete having a lot of success, it just goes up 5-6-fold. I mean, my kids can't do this on their own. They need resources to help them. So when you're at a tournament over the weekend or a showcase and you're there 3 days, 2 days. I mean, I've had some kids and athletes travel all summer to go to all these showcases all across the U.S. It's hard. Their body's breaking down. So You have to start with good, adequate fuel, and you have to bring snacks with you. That breakfast could be, maybe it's, you know, eggs, oatmeal, or it's eggs and toast. Maybe you're at a hotel and you have to find something good quality. You know, it could be yogurt with fruit. You want a combination of more carbohydrate than anything else. A little bit of protein just to make sure you stay, because protein's very important on the filling effect. It keeps you full longer. And when you have protein, a little bit of fiber, and a little bit of fat, your blood sugar stays more stable. So you're more likely to have more energy. And let's kind of explain what does that look like? Let's say you have pops in the morning or donuts or a pastry. There's not a lot of fiber. There's not a lot of protein. There's a lot of processed carb and fat in that. So that means your blood sugar is going to be probably all over the place and you're going to be hungry in about 30 minutes to an hour. Mm-hmm. Versus if you had toast with peanut butter and a glass of milk, if you had a smoothie, if you had eggs and oatmeal, that all has fiber, fat, and quality fiber and carbohydrate, your blood sugar is going to stay a lot more stable. You're going to stay full longer. And then it's like, well, once my games start, what do I do after that? And that's where you want to bring a combination of a few things. Maybe that's fruit, maybe that's banana, a peanut butter and banana sandwich. Maybe you have a half of that halfway through a game. Maybe it's nutrition bars. Maybe that's mixed nuts or trail mix. Maybe that's beef jerky if, you know, in between games, if you want to have something with some sodium to replace electrolytes as you're playing in the hot summer, you know, with hydration. There's a lot of different things that could work. It just depends on that individual athlete. And sometimes that could be something maybe more processed. Maybe it's a Rice Krispie treat. It's Fig Newtons. It's a Nutri-Grain bar. And sometimes kids just need something quick to give them quick energy. It doesn't have to be, there's no perfect with nutrition. So it just, again, it's all individualized. That's what I love about this, is everybody's different and what their body can tolerate.
I think my favorite thing so far is that, you know, we're talking with this expert on nutrition and you've mentioned Rice Krispie treats several times.
I
did not expect that going into this.
I love it. That's great.
Yeah. And people probably listening going, that's bad for you. And it's like, well, what does that mean? Like, you know, if you eat a Rice Krispie treat, you're not going to have diabetes because you ate a Rice Krispie treat. And if you ate broccoli or an apple, you're not going to all of a sudden become instantly healthy because you do that. So that's where I don't like a lot of the stuff I see in regards to demonizing foods. They can all be used, you know, for athletes, sugar is beneficial. You know, when you need a quick source of energy, sugar is your friend. Not saying let's consume it all the time, but if blood sugar is low, if energy levels are depleted, we need to get your blood sugar level up pretty quick, and we need to get insulin to deliver blood sugar to the, you know, to the muscle and fill your glycogen, which is your gas tank. Your gas tank is is called glycogen, and that's where it goes in the liver and muscle. So fast sugar can be beneficial in those places. And when you're playing two or three games in a day, you know, you don't want to eat broccoli and red beans because your stomach's going to be like, what in the world just happened? So, you know, we'll be singing Frank Sinatra's Fly Me to the Moon.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, I was like, so are you more of towards like the whole foods, or are you okay with doing like the protein bars or some protein shakes or, you know, some of those things like that.
Yeah, we just got to make sure on the protein bars, they're not loaded with sugar alcohols, because a lot of these bars are, I mean, some of these bars are really, they're not nutritionally sound. So when you look at the bar, if it's made with whole food ingredients, like there's a couple of brands, the Perfect Bar, Clif, you know, like the Perfect Bar is just whole food ingredients, RX. There's a couple of brands. I'm not associated with any of these companies at all. I just think some of these bars are really made with all whole foods. Honey Stinger does a really nice job with a lot of their products as well. So, but some of these protein bars, it's a lot of processed ingredients, a lot of alternative sweeteners and colors and sugar alcohols, which could really disrupt the gut. And the last thing that you want to do is do anything that messes up the gut while you're performing, because that can cause a lot of stomach disruption and discomfort.
And diarrhea. So
absolutely.
They for sure don't want that. Absolutely. So moving on to some hydration, because you talked a little bit about that. So hydration for summer in baseball is super important. I feel like I always talk about this till I'm blue in the face with my kids. But like, what are your thoughts on Gatorade, Powerade, Body Armor, even the liquid IV?
Yeah, I mean, look, I have a personal opinion about a lot of those type of things. I don't think any of those products are ideal for truly optimal absorption, only because, you know, I think there's better options. But I don't want to, I never want to criticize a brand, because I've had relationships with some of these brands in the past in regards to just the fact that of educating people on how to use them. Are they harmful? Absolutely not. If you said energy drink, then we'd have a whole different conversation that I know we're going to talk about dietary supplements in a second. But these are sports drinks. So are they formulated, you know, that I feel, could they be better formulated? Absolutely. I think there's other ways to formulate these, to remove dyes, remove sugars, remove certain things. But can they be used? You know, absolutely. They can be used in a way to hydrate. And that's what they're designed to do. I think some of them have too much potassium and not enough sodium. I think some of them don't have enough sodium or potassium. There's not an ideal one that says this is going to solve everybody's problem, because in some cases you have athletes that are really heavy sweaters versus some that don't sweat as much. What I like about Gatorade is they have a sweat patch. You can test your sweat. We can look and see, you know, what electrolytes you're breaking down, and then determine, all right, how much sweat is this person losing? How much sodium and potassium are they losing in an hour? And then we can customize a plan for that. But that's not going to be done in most athletes. You know,
no.
College programs do that. NFL teams do that. Major League Baseball teams may do that. But yeah, I mean, they all have a purpose. They can be used, but I'm not married to one. I have other recommendations based on some formulas I've created in the past.
Absolutely. Do you have a way, either like sugar-free or regular, or it doesn't really matter?
Yeah, it just depends on what that athlete needs. If that athlete's deficient in calories and they haven't consumed anything for a while, let's say you have an athlete that's nervous, or they just like, I'm a lot of anxiety, they're scared, you know, their adrenaline's pumping and they can't tolerate food, then liquid calories with some carbohydrate, whether that's from sugar or not, can be beneficial for them, just to make sure they get their blood sugar up a little bit. Because let's say they're really anxious and they can't eat breakfast. Well, then we need something in their stomach, right? Because we don't want them to fast and then try to play, let's say, a game at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning and they haven't eaten in 12 to 16 hours. So again, it just goes, and if it's an athlete, maybe it's an athlete that's just, they want to lose 50 pounds, but they can still perform at a high level. We look at a certain college player last year that played first base, SEC player of the year, but he probably was about 50 to 60 pounds overweight. And so if you look at certain young athletes, there's a lot of young athletes playing and they're, you know, they have a lot of weight to lose. We don't want them consuming a lot of sugary calories. So maybe it's a zero calorie option where they can still hydrate.
I'm so glad you said that, because I didn't say anything earlier when you were talking about how important breakfast is. I have a young athlete who is just absolutely cannot tolerate to eat food most mornings, especially if there's a game that day, like to the point of we've learned if you force him to eat before a game and he doesn't want to, it'll just come right back up. So I didn't say anything, but I thought, oh no, what about my kid? But what you're saying is if we could at least get some Gatorade and, or not Gatorade, but some sort of electrolyte type drink or something in him, that would be better than nothing.
Yeah, no, that can be. There's a lot of things out there. I mean, I created a formula for a beverage. It's called Liquid Fuel. It's not on the market. We have a liquid product available, but it's not in stores. We're still working on a lot of things for that. But what we did with that product is we made it completely different on the formula than anything on the market. So all of the beverages on the market are what's considered a high glycemic carbohydrate. So it's something that's fast. It's like Pop-Tarts, right? You eat it, your blood sugar goes up really fast. It has a glycemic index of maybe 90 to 100. Liquid Fuel is made out of sugar beets. So it's derived from sugar beets. It has a glycemic index of 32. So it's 100% low glycemic. It has 200 milligrams of sodium, 100 milligrams of 100 milligrams of potassium. It also has magnesium, which is an important when it comes to muscle contraction. It has some calcium. So we're trying to bring that to market. We're looking at maybe moving it to a powdered formulation because it's a lot less expensive. Liquid's very difficult to do runs. And it's to make it affordable when you're self-funding these kind of things. So I'll send y'all some samples. That way y'all can taste it and maybe, you know, see what you think. But yeah, there's a lot of good products on the market. At the end of the day, they all kind of solve the same problem. Some of them are just 500 milligrams of sodium for the heavy sweaters, or they have a little bit of potassium. I don't think anyone's really figured out how to do it for everybody, because you can't. That's the thing with nutrition. It's got to be individualized and see what works for that person.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'd be curious to try that out. And I love that you use sugar beets, because I live in a very, very strong sugar beet farming community. So they would be very happy to hear that. And I don't hear many people going out of their way to use sugar beets. So that's kind of interesting.
Well, it's been extensively studied in diabetics. That's the thing with palatinose and isomaltulose, which, you know, from sugar beets, is we've got a lot of studies that look at blood sugar control. Your blood sugar stays stable 3 to 4 hours after consumption. And there's been some studies in athletes to look at perceived exertion to say, look, I feel better. You know, we can't say, will it increase your performance? Because what does that mean? Performance is such a big word. Like, I can't say if you drink this, you're going to hit 3 home runs in this game. That's, you know, there's no way to ever predict that. But what we do know is you should probably feel a little bit better. You shouldn't have a dip in energy. Your blood sugar shouldn't be crashing. And maybe you just, maybe that helps you get through the day a little bit better than what you did before. So that's what we're hoping at some point, if we can bring this product to market, you know, we hope to have some success with that. But there's a lot of competition. It's really hard to bring products like this to market these days.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Well, and I just recently kind of tried to get my son to do more. There's another product out there, the powdered one, the LMNT. And it's just so dang salty. But I mean, they lose so much salt, but he is just like, nope, can't do it. So he gets like 2 sips and then he's like, I'm done. I've even tried like a larger container filled with water, and he's still, it's just, it tastes so salty that he's like, I can't do it. So yes, getting your product, it would be amazing to try it. Yeah.
Okay. Would love for you to try it and see what you think.
Yes. So my other thing is too, is like for kids that are youth. So like the younger kids, like maybe 10 to 12, would you still recommend these electrolyte powders for them or no?
Yeah. I mean, there's no harm in that at all. So if they want to, if let's just say, because water by itself has no electrolytes, too much water can actually cause sodium excretion, potassium excretion, and you don't want that. You don't want that imbalance. If you're outside all day and you're constantly playing in games and you're losing a lot of electrolytes, water is probably the worst thing you can drink. So if there's something they want to stick in a packet and throw it in their water and shake it up and they enjoy that, that's a great way to get that. So Liquid IV, LMNT, you know, those are some brands that do a nice job. There's a brand here in Baton Rouge or right outside where I'm from. I'm trying to think, Matt Flynn, the former quarterback of the Green Bay Packers and Seattle Seahawks, created a product called My High. So that's another product he's done a really nice job. Again, it just depends on taste. I don't know what a lot of those products, I've never used those products. I've never used Liquid IV, LMNT, or My High, but I have some companies that swear by them, or some teams that say, look, their athletes love those. So The Right Stuff is another brand that's been around a long time, and they've done a phenomenal job. They work with a lot of college and professional teams. They've worked with NASA. So they're a very high sodium concentrated product that you can add to water. And again, for someone who's going to be outside all day in June, July, and August, then they need those electrolytes.
Yeah. What do you recommend for an athlete that continues to get leg cramps or Charlie horses during games? So like it could even be the treatment after the game. Like, what do you recommend for those kids?
Well, what we're learning about cramping is it may not be always, or even most of the time, not going to be nutrition related. I've talked to Jack Marucci, who, you know, head of performance innovation with LSU. He was the head athletic trainer there for a long time. I mean, obviously, if you play baseball and you know Marucci bats, Jack is the guy who basically made the bat in his backyard for his son. And then all of a sudden it became, you know, the number one selling bat in the entire U.S., which is insane.
Wow.
Yeah, he handcrafted a bat. His son was playing Little League. He's like, Dad, can you make me a bat? Because the bat I'm using is too small. And Jack's a craftsman. So he's like, sure. And put his logo on it. Well, that, I know we're getting off topic, but that spread into LSU and a few of the LSU guys, Ryan Terrio, you know, Mike Fontenot, and a few of the other players that were playing in the Cape Cod leagues. Like, hey, I want to try this bat. And can you make one for me? And all before you know it, you know, his bat's being used in the world, in the Major League Baseball World Series. And he's like, oh no, why is my bat in the World Series? Now more athletes use Marucci bats in professional sports than the Louisville Slugger and some of the other bats from what I've heard. So anyway, but Jack's an extremely intelligent guy. And we've had discussions about cramping, you know, with LSU football in the past. And he's like, look, he goes, some of this is muscle excitability. You know, some of this is just fast twitch and athletes training at a certain level. And some of it's nutrition. The fact that it's not potassium related. If anything, it's probably more sodium depletion and they're sweating way too much. And then they're, you know, baseball players are not typically known to sprint very often, except when they're running the bases. So if they're having muscle cramps, it's probably dehydration related, not enough sodium, and maybe poor diet too, lack of sleep, nerves. I mean, there's so many factors that can probably go into that. It's never one thing.
Right. Okay.
Right.
And that was really interesting to hear the backstory. I love that you knew that about Marucci. I had no idea.
Oh yeah. He's probably the one of the most wonderful human beings, because if you go sit in his office, there's all these like used bats from players, and he's the most humble guy. Like, you would never think he was the guy behind that, because it's just like, it's not a big deal. He just, his backyard, his backyard's like a baseball stadium. He's got a backyard that's like designed with like a field, so you can play like wiffle ball in his backyard. It's really cool.
Very cool. So we'll move on to the supplements then. So what are your most popular supplements that you recommend for athletes? I know you mentioned a few earlier, but if you could just kind of go over that again for us.
Yeah, this is an important topic. So for parents listening, you know, and you're going, okay, my kids are taking supplements, or if you have 15, 16, 17 year olds that are like really getting to the, like, I want to get bigger, stronger. Let's talk about what has evidence, right? And then I'm going to talk about what you have to be really concerned about, because it's sweeping locker rooms. My business partner, who's been a high school, he was a high school athletic trainer for 35 years, actually texted me the other day about energy drinks and what the kids were drinking at 6 a.m. for baseball. So we'll get to that. But so some foundational things that I think everybody should be taking, especially at the youth level. Number one is omega-3. Fish oil is so critical, and we could probably have a whole nother podcast about just the type and the form, because that makes a big difference. Don't just go run out and buy any omega-3. But why is that it's so important? Number one, 90% of the globe is deficient in omega-3 right now. Most of us are not consuming enough. And I think it's the most versatile nutrient, because when you have healthy levels of omega-3 in the blood, which means if you have an omega-3 index score of 8 to 12%, you have a lot less inflammation. Heart health is improved, which for athletes, that's not a big deal. Brain health is improved. But for the young athlete, it's recovery. It's inflammation. They're constantly playing. They're playing long seasons. They're playing multiple sports. So you just have less muscle soreness. It's not going to prevent it. It's just going to make it better over the course of time. So when you go through a long season, you're just going to have a healthier athlete. So that's number one. We'll talk about when you use an omega-3 product, you want to make sure it comes in either triglyceride form, which it would say on the bottle. And, you know, there's a lot of brands that do a nice job with that, or krill, or it has to be, if you're vegetarian or vegan, it has to be algae. That's it. Don't go to a store. Don't go to a grocery. Don't go to, you know, to a pharmacy and buy fish oil, because you're not going to get a good brand there. I can promise you that. So that's one. Number two, which may surprise you, that I think most, not all, but most should be taking, is creatine. Now, some people are going to be listening going, oh, that's dangerous. Completely false. 70,000 studies have been done. 70,000, not 7,000. 70,000 studies have been done on creatine, maybe more by now. And most of those don't even look at performance. They look at clinical populations. And creatine is another versatile nutrient in the fact that it's been looking at brain health. We're using omega-3 and creatine to help treat concussion. I mean, if someone has a concussion, the first form of action is high dose of fish oil, because 60% of your brain is fat, 25% of it's a type of omega-3 called DHA. Creatine also is something that's depleted in the brain when you have a head injury. But for the athlete, it's the fact that they're breaking down their creatine stores when they lift weights, when they train, when they do a lot of high performance activity. So a little bit of creatine, 3 to 5 grams, that's it, no more than that, of monohydrate can be a very effective way to restore what your body's breaking down. Don't use it as a way to gain weight, because I see this too often. Parents are like, can my son take creatine? Can my daughter, or whoever? It's mostly parents of boy athletes that are like, I want my son to get bigger, creatine. I'm like, well, let's talk about what they're eating first. If they're eating 2,000 calories and they're burning 4,000, nothing they take is going to help them gain weight. You still have to be in a you got to be in a surplus to gain weight. So there's nothing you can take. There's no magic pill. There's no legal magic pill, I can promise you that, that's over the counter that's going to acutely improve the way you look or feel. But it's very effective. It's very well researched. It's very safe. Long-term studies show no impact on the kidney or liver function. Physicians that say that, they just don't know what they're talking about when it comes to the science, because we have now a 500-page textbook on creatine that looks at health and disease. And then a multivitamin, especially something with vitamin D, is pretty important, because 45% of the country is deficient in vitamin D, and that's a pretty versatile hormone when it comes to just muscle function, you know, immune health. We saw a lot of studies in COVID, which is when we look at a lot of the, you know, side effects of COVID, everyone was pretty much vitamin D deficient, you know, and that's a respiratory nutrient. So we know when vitamin D levels are adequate, when omega-3 levels are adequate, we don't see a lot of immune health problems. We don't see a lot of infection. We don't see a lot of sickness. So those are three foundational nutrients that I recommend for all my college professional and even my high school athletes.
I'm so glad that you shared that, and especially appreciate what you said about the creatine, because that's something that we introduced this year to our household, because my freshman in high school started lifting weights and was interested in, you know, is this something I should take, because, you know, all my friends are taking it. And I researched the heck out of it, and it was like, but when you just look it up online, I found just as many like scary, don't take it for young athletes versus no, it's actually really good for them and they need this studies. And I was really confused. And I said, well, maybe we'll just take it sometimes and just take a really tiny amount, because I don't really know how I feel about it. And then he went to high school health class and came home and said, I'm never taking it again. My health teacher said it's really dangerous.
Oh no.
So we put it away. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. And again, that's with anything in nutrition, right? There's the yin and the yang with this. There's the individuals that don't read the science. They don't know the science, and they don't understand the science. And it's the easy thing for them to say, don't take it. It's the easy thing for a doctor to say, here's drugs, no need to do anything. You know, don't take the natural approach to do this, which I can understand that there's places for those things if needed, but we have to look at the evidence. I'm an evidence-based person. We just don't make up alternative therapies unless there's evidence to prove that, hey, this has been studied in 50 to 100 to million people, and it's been shown to not have any side effects. Okay, that's solid data. If there's one study, and that's the problem with marketing these days, is, you know, creatine comes in 7 different forms. So the gold standard is still monohydrate. And the gold standard of monohydrate is something called CreaPure. It's manufactured out of Germany from a company called Alzchem. So there's a lot of other brands, pyruvate, there's hydrochloride, there's magnesium creatine, there's HCL. Monohydrate's still the gold standard. If you look at Dr. Rick Kreider's work out of Texas A&M, he's published more work on creatine. He's got textbooks on creatine. I had him on a podcast, and he's like, look, monohydrate still outperforms all other forms of creatine, but the organ, you know, the group we're battling against is the bro science world. It's the bodybuilders and people that, you know, that's a whole different lifestyle. And we got to avoid listening to that lifestyle when it comes to athletes, because they don't understand athlete nutrition.
Absolutely. And Diana, I even started taking it. So when I started working out with my son, He was taking it, and I heard some podcasts, and they're research based as well, and it's good for brain health and memory and things like that. And I was like, you know what? I could use some muscle recovery because I'm getting up there in age. And so I started taking it, and you do need to take it on a regular basis. Even though you don't work out every day, you still need to take it on a regular basis. And I do see the difference.
Hmm. Yeah, 3 to 5 grams. I mean, you know, 3 grams mm-hmm. post-workout, 5 grams post-workout, no more than that. You know, the more, you know, a lot of young athletes think, oh, one scoop, let's take 5 scoops because that's going to help me get there faster. No. And that's where we've seen individual reports of like, oh, maybe there's some kidney failure because this person took half a container at one time or what, you know, it's like, oh, it's like pre-workouts or, you know, we'll get into the pre-workouts and caffeine powders and things like that.
Yes.
But that's what we just have to be cautious. That's where it's like there's 999 positive Yelp reviews on that restaurant, but there's the one review that someone gave it 0 stars and said it was terrible. And you're talking yourself why you shouldn't go. It's like the same thing with the health teacher that says creatine's bad when it's not bad. It can be very effective.
Right. Absolutely. Let's go over like your concern. Are there any concerns about like overdosing? And let's talk about some of those, energy drinks. And if you want, we can even talk about pre-workout. You want to throw any of those in there?
Absolutely. I mean, so again, if parents and any athletes are listening, please avoid energy drinks and pre-workouts as much as you possibly can. Number one, you know, I had Dr. John Higgins. He's a cardiologist out of Texas on a podcast about a year and a half ago. And he's extensively studied energy drinks. And he said, look, these things are like a ticking time bomb for someone's heart. He goes, he did a study and he took his healthy medical students that were part of his rotation and he studied them. He gave them one energy drink a day and he saw a 20 to 25% reduction in blood vessel function. So less blood flow to the heart. It puts a lot more vasoconstriction. So your heart's pumping harder, faster. It puts a lot of stress on the body. There is no benefit to drinking those things. We're seeing young individuals, mid 20s, early 30s, heart failure, pacemakers being put in their body because of drinking these things from starting at a young age. It's slowly causing, it's like smoking 3 packs, 4 packs of cigarettes a day on your lungs, but it's acutely changing the function of your heart. So pre-workout's just powdered energy. It's no different. And he's still not sure what's the combination. It's not like caffeine, because if that was the case, half the country would probably be dead because of the amount of coffee we drink.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just thinking as you were speaking that. Like, oh no, because I drink tons of coffee. I've never had an energy drink, but...
No, the problem with energy drinks is a lot of these pre-workouts, they have multiple stimulants. It's not just, it's caffeine. There's other stimulants like guarana seeds, sinephrine, kola nut extract, green tea extract. So when you're compounding 3 and 4 stimulants, and then they have the amino acid tyrosine. That's another focus type ingredient with other things like taurine and, I mean, a whole laundry list. There's banned substances in some of these products that would cause collagen pro athletes to test positive. There's really no reason to consume these, but these kids are tired. They're looking at screens all day. They stay up late and they're just fatigued. So they're like, I need something to get me to moving and motivate. And I'm like, well, there's a really good combination that will help you do that. That's got a lot of evidence. It's a cup of coffee with beets, with beetroot extract. Those two can work really well. So if you take a scoop of beet powder and you have that with a little water and a cup of coffee, you have two evidence-based ingredients that are not harmful that are going to cause any problems. If anything, beets will vasodilate your blood vessels and increase nitrates and help with blood flow. And caffeine might have a little constriction there, but it will help with the focus and central nervous system effect. So caffeine's very well researched. Beets now has a lot of research on it as well. But the combination of these multi-ingredient things and pre-workouts and energy drinks, we're seeing kids going into cardiac arrest. I mean, it's a really scary thing to see these side effects of what some of these kids are doing and using.
So, Tavis, I have a question, though. Where can we find this beet powder? Because now I'm really invested. I really want some.
Yeah, there's a lot of brands. I mean, there's one or two brands that have done a nice job. And again, I'm not associated with any brands. I don't get paid by any supplement companies. I don't own supplement brands. I have certain brands that I personally use for myself. So Dr. John Ivey, he was based out of Texas. He's a retired professor of exercise science. He's got some great books on sports nutrition, especially related to nutrient timing. He formulated a product that actually tastes really good called Human, H-U-M-A-N. And I think it's H-U-M-A-N-N. They have what's called Beet Elite. It's a really good tasting beetroot powder. Some of the beet powder, my wife has brought home some stuff before and I'm like, hey, what's this? And then I taste it and I'm like, oh my gosh, this tastes like the backyard. Like it tastes like mud. I'm like, and I don't like beets. Like I can't eat beets. They don't taste good to me by any means. But that's one brand. They've done a nice job of like, oh wow, it actually has a nice like flavor profile to it. I think they use like monk fruit and stevia to kind of flavor it to make it have like, a little bit of a decent taste. But, pure beets, it's not going to taste good. So that's the one brand. It's also that brand's third party certified by Informed Sport, which means it's been tested for banned substances. So for athletes, that's an important thing if they're getting drug tested.
Yes, very important. What are your guidelines for supplement safety then?
Yeah, I mean, it's third party certification is really critical. To ensure that anything you put in your body is not going to contain something that's not on the label, number one, but something that's not harmful. Number one, though, is you can't trust companies that say, oh, yeah, we test our products GMP or it's we test it internally. That means nothing. GMP means nothing, which GMP stands for good manufacturing practices. So if that product on the outside of that product, number one, if a product was manufactured in a facility that was certified by NSF or Informed Sport, that's good. It doesn't always have to have the logo on it for a high school athlete, but you won't know that. You won't know where it's manufactured unless the company tells you that. If it's third-party tested, meaning if that company decides to spend the extra money and go through the testing process through NSF or Informed Sport or Informed Choice, then we know it's been certified. So we know the lab they've sent samples to the lab, they've done batch testing, and that product's clean for that specific batch. But we've seen athletes walk into supplement stores and be sold things that were not third-party tested. I've had athletes, and when I was with the Saints, when I was at Tulane, test positive. And it's like, why would you not ask us before you even put that in your body, knowing, we had Deuce McAllister. It's all public knowledge. He tested positive for a diuretic. And I was looking at what he took, and I was like, if you look at the website, it's got a 65-year-old lady on the cover in, like, glitter, advertising it as a weight loss supplement. I'm like, that should be a red flag. That should be a red flag right there. So there's some phenomenal brands out there, but there are a lot of bad players in the supplement space. So there's no best brand, there's no best company, but again, reach out. I'm happy to help any individual understand, what to do. Supplements are not magic pills. They just, again, they supplement with what you might be missing from your diet. I take a variety of things from, at 46, my job, my goal is longevity now. It's not about looking a certain way. It's just about feeling good, getting through the day and making sure I can be here as long as I can possibly be here. Making sure it's NSF for sport or Informed Sport certified or Informed Choice is critical for athletes, especially if you're college, professional or Olympic athletes.
Right. Absolutely. And just to reiterate to everybody, like supplements are not governed by the government, like the FDA does food and they make sure that they're following guidelines, whether they're loose or not, or like the pharmacy and drugs and everything. Supplements are not a drug or a food. They kind of hang in that gray territory. So pretty much you can say whatever you want on those labels and it could not be true. So you definitely have to do some research.
It's partially true in a way. Yeah. I mean, they have to comply to FDA regulations. So supplements are regulated by the FDA now.
Oh, they are.
Absolutely. There is regulation on dietary supplements. In 1994, they have what's called the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act, but they leave it up to the supplement brand to ensure what's on there is accurate. So there's not enough people in the FDA to really truly manage that. There are bad players that sneak under the radar. There are companies that are still selling ephedra. There are still companies selling dimethylamylamine, which is an amphetamine-like compound that's completely banned. Ephedra's banned, but we still see them in weight loss pills because the FDA doesn't really, they don't have enough people to know what's, if a company underground lab is making a pre-workout. So it's easy to make supplements. You can buy raw material. As long as you know how to design a nice little logo, you buy the product, you buy the raw material, you buy the containers, and then you have a website and you can sell this out of your home and ship it to people. And, you know, you can get stuff from all over the world. So that's why third-party certification is so important, because there's a lot of underground labs using pharmaceutical drugs and supplements. It's not something that you want to play around with. So
absolutely.
We don't see nearly as many. We don't see a lot of deaths. That's the one thing, is like probably more people die from taking Tylenol than would they do if they took a dietary supplement. But you don't really hear about that stuff. Like if someone goes into cardiac arrest, you don't hear about, oh, the energy drink caused that. You hear about if they overdosed on fentanyl, but you're not going to hear much about the energy drink world that's causing a lot of problems too.
Right. Thank you. Awesome. So our next thing is you created a nutrition app. So can you explain a little bit about that and how it works?
Yeah, I know. So myself and my business partner, he's kind of the brains behind the operation. His name's Ronnie Harper. We have a company called My Sports Dietitian, and we created this app called Eat to Win. So it was really just trying to solve our own problem. Eat the number two and win. It's a free app. You can download it in the App Store. And he spent 35 years in high school sports as an athletic trainer, 900 student athletes in his school. You know, for years, he was the go-to person to ask a lot of questions. Kids were like, Doc, what do I can do to gain weight? What do I need to take? And he was just overwhelmed. So we met 13, 14 years ago and just kind of just really hit it off and just discussing a love for nutrition, trying to help the youth athlete more than anything else. I was with the Saints at the time, but I always had an affinity working with young athletes because no one was doing anything for that population. There's too much attention around, the Saints were great on my resume, the Pelicans great on the resume, but that's you're not solving a lot of problems working with 53, 60 athletes. There's 30, 40, 50 million young athletes that have no education around this. So what we wanted to do is with the Eat to Win app was we wanted to do something completely opposite that no nutrition app was doing, give you nutrition plans. All the nutrition apps in the space they require you to log food. They want you to log, and I don't want to name, there's a lot of apps out there that have helped people, but you shouldn't really be spending too much time logging your meals all day. And for adults, if you want to know what you're eating, you would have to weigh everything. You would have to truly measure everything to know if it's accurate. And that's not necessary. But for the young athlete, we know they don't have time to do that. No 14, 18 year old kid's going to want to log stuff. They're not going to want to weigh their food, nor should they, because that can create an eating disorder. So basically what we're doing for them is we're showing them how many calories they need based on their goals, what their height, their weight, what they'd like to weigh. And it's not just about the number, but that's an algorithm needed to help create calorie understanding, how much activity they do. And then from there, it gives them a customized nutrition plan. So they can select how many meals and snacks they want to have throughout the day. They can set meal reminders in times of when they want to eat. And it gives them a lot of options for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, post-workout. There's smoothie recipes. There's options for vegans, vegetarians. There's restaurant options. But the most important piece of this is we're gamifying it. So there are points that you earn. In April, we're launching our first Eat to Win challenge. It's not marketed yet. Basically, we're going to be awarding cash prizes to young individuals or anyone who signs up for the challenge. The first place prize will be $500, then we'll do $250, and there'll be product involved with a partnership we're doing with a brand. But it's going to incentivize individuals for doing things inside the app. There's educational videos about nutrition. There's quizzes if they take pictures of their food. We don't want them to log, track a meal by selecting what they're eating. They just take a picture of it, and they get 5 or 10 points for that. And because we know when they wake up in the morning, no 14, 18-year-old kid's like, woohoo, I can't wait to play with my nutrition app, right? They're like, that's the last thing on their mind. But if we do a monthly challenge and there's a leaderboard and they can score points and they can win cash, then we've already studied this. We can motivate them to install or instill behavior change. So, and all we want them to do is go, all right, if I log my breakfast, that means I got to eat something. That starts the process of changing behavior. If they watch an educational video, I have 70 videos of me talking about different topics, as well as we have other sports dietitians. We have weekly webinars. So the goal is to just give them little bits of information because we know their attention span is very short. And it's like, oh, I got to bring food to school? Man, let me pack my peanut butter and jelly sandwich, my granola bar, my nutrition bar, my nuts and whatever. That's now helping them solve a lot of problems. And now we're going to reward them for doing that. So that's kind of what that app's about. We have a long ways to go, but we have about 50,000 people that have downloaded it since we launched it a couple of years ago. Now we're really going to market this big challenge coming out. And we're hoping that challenge grows to where we can give out thousands of dollars every month to the winners of that.
Awesome. I really appreciate that. That's nice. I mean, it's more than, you know, some of those nutrition classes in high school. So, I mean, I appreciate that app, and I'm going to have my son sign up.
Yeah, I'm actually signing up for it right now just to see what it looks like. I'm almost, oh, it doesn't like any of my password choices, but I'll get there. So how does that work from a financial standpoint? Is that something that costs money initially? Is there a subscription?
Yeah, no. So for what we're doing right now is we're having discussions with three major health systems that have 20, 30,000 athletes. So we have programs for them where we can provide nutrition services for those high schools. We have a service called our year-round program, you know, for football, club soccer, and for sports performance, to where it's $49 a year for the athlete. So $4, basically about $4 a month. But a parent can sign up for $49 for the year. But we do that through teams. We try to do that through teams. For the challenge, it's going to be no more than, it's going to be $4.99 a month. And they're part of the challenge. They can win money. They can ask questions to sports dietitians. They can attend weekly webinars and presentations. I mean, we look at that as like, it's a very inexpensive fee for, it's less than the cost of a fast food meal per month. So if maybe someone eliminated a frozen coffee from one of the famous coffee places, or they just said, look, you know, I'm not going to have, you know, that fast food meal. That's basically what they're going to pay for that. And then they'll be enrolled in those challenges. But the app is free. I mean, you'll get a lot of options under the free version. If you join the premium version, then you unlock all the meal plans and all the different things. If you're part of a group and sign up through a high school, if your high school team signs up, then, you know, we have discounts for volume based on how many people. And we put a sports dietitian behind that team. That way they have access to reach out to someone for professional advice.
Great.
Yeah, that is so cool. I love that. Great idea. Is there anything that we did not hit on that you wanted to stress for the athlete?
Yeah, the last thing I think is the most important is for these kids, in order to execute this, in order to have, you know, to have success, is you have to have a plan in place. You have to put this, you know, as part of your weekly activity to do. Don't rely on a mom or dad to do all this for you. What I tell all my athletes that I work with is, look, take a day like Saturday or Sunday, preferably Sunday, take 20, 30 minutes and prep your snacks for the week. Make 10 or 15 PB&Js, get your, you know, make your own trail mix, put them in 10 or 15 Ziploc bags or whatever it is that you enjoy. Get your nutrition bars, your fruit, work with your parents to give them a grocery list. That way the food is available, because if you have that plan in place, then you're way a step ahead, because you're going to have the advantage over the competition. And take nutrition seriously. Like, I think too many times in all facets of nutrition, especially in the adults, we look for change in a week, in a day. We want these things to happen overnight. And it takes months for these things to happen. So if you're consistent with this and you put nutrition really at the top of the performance puzzle, your performance is going to go to a whole nother level. So, but have a plan. Make sure you have a plan and work with your parents. And I can say your parents are right, as much as you probably don't want to believe them. I know, and I get it. Parents, I hear that all the time. My son or daughter, they don't want to listen to me. I'm like, nope. They just want hug, support. They want you to tell them you love them. And then they want you to find a professional to help them.
So yes! That's
someone that you have to pay. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, one that you have to pay. Yeah.
I'm doing that now with my 11-year-old with volleyball. She's like, I'm ready. And I'm like, all right, I'll go out and hit with you, but I will not talk about anything else anymore, because she doesn't listen to me.
So if any of our listeners have questions or want to follow up on something that you mentioned in the episode today, is there a way that they could get in contact with you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I'll give you my email address and they can always email me. It's my first initial for T, like the letter T. And then my last name is Piattoli, which I don't expect anyone to get that right on a spelling bee, but it's but it's T and then Piattoli. P as in Paul, IA, T as in Tom, OLY, T Piattoli at mysportsd, just a letter D, .com. So T Piattoli at mysportsd.com. They can email me there. I'm happy to answer any questions, you know, just about whatever it is that they have.
Great. Thank you so much. And we'll make sure to include that in our show notes as well.
Excellent.
Yes, awesome. I think that's all we have. We really appreciate you coming, or I mean, talking to us today, Tavis. This was wonderful. We've learned so much information. Anything else, Diana?
I don't think so. That was overwhelming for me. It's a lot of information. This is an area I'm not comfortable. Like, we normally we just talk about baseball, but this is all like science and stuff.
Well, look, I love talking baseball. I'm a baseball junkie. I've been a Cubs fan my entire life in New Orleans, and we didn't have a baseball team. So it's like.
So you chose the Cubs. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. The Cubs. That's so weird.
Yeah. You know, growing up as when I was 7 years old in 1983, we got cable, or I think cable came out 83, 84, and turning that little box with the 20 channels. And I'm like, oh, there's an old drunk guy calling balls and strikes, Harry Carey. And I'm like, he called that a fastball, but that was a curveball outside. And I'm like, this guy's great. Fell in love with the Cubs, and Ryan Sandberg was my favorite player for a long time, and have been a diehard fan since. So yeah, I can't wait. Baseball is in full effect with pitchers and catchers and players now. Uh-huh. So I'm ready. Yep.
And I love that you chose the Cubs. Like, I lived in Utah for a while, and you know, obviously they don't have a team either, but it seemed like most of the people there were like Yankees or Dodgers fans, like just by default, one or the other. So I like that you picked somebody else.
Yeah, we only had two choices. It was either Atlanta, because we had TBS and WGN growing up.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, Cubs are good. Sense. They were the underdog for there for a while, so that was good.
Yeah, until they got rid of all their players.
Well, you know, they're rebuilding, this Diana. They're rebuilding.
We're back. We had a great offseason, so watch out for the Cubs this year. They made some pretty big signings in free agency with Dansby Swanson and Jameson Taillon. Jameson Taillon was a client of mine for a while, and you know, so they picked up some pretty big. They got Cody Bellinger, and you know, they just signed Eric Hosmer, and you know, so that team's going to do some things, I think, they're not expected. Pitching's probably a little questionable, but you know, they've got a lot of youth there, but you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
true.
Best of luck to the Cubs.
Yes.
Yep. Well, thank you all so much. I really appreciate the time, honor to be here, and really, you know, thank you for giving me the time to share this information with your listeners.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Tavis.
Yes. No problem. This was such great information. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You can keep up with us on Instagram and Facebook at Moms in Baseball. You can also listen to our episodes on our Moms in Baseball Facebook page. Make sure you join our Facebook group, Parents in Baseball, where we discuss everything about baseball. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to hit the subscribe button and share with your friends. We would love to hear from you. Until then, have fun at the field.
We'll see you next time. Did you hear me laugh when you talked about how important hydration is to you?
Oh, I know. And I was like, I was going to tell this story. And then I was like, no, back off, Stephanie. Like,
I know.
Let's not embarrass myself.
I know. I immediately flashed to like you worried about Keegan's
kidneys. I know. I was like, he's going to die.
His kidneys are already thirsty.